And we are in a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3644 relating to student assistance. And Senator Hannon, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, my name is Len Hannon, State Senator, District 26. House Bill 3644 was introduced by Representative Randy Leonard, and it dealt with a scholarship issue, and I imposed upon the good representative if we might be able to use his bill as a courtesy vehicle to adjust some of the statutory language as it relates to the State Scholarship Commission. Recently, the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, formerly known as the State Scholarship Commission, adopted some rules as it relates to the Oregon Opportunity Grant. And what they, in essence, did was to put all the funds, both for private institutions and public institutions, into one pot to be drawn out by students as they applied for the opportunity grant. And the opportunity grants used to be known as the NEED grant program. My concern as a member of this legislative assembly for quite some time is the distinction between private universities and colleges and public university and colleges. I support students who choose to go to a private institution. I think that's all well and fine. And I think we owe an obligation as a state to help assist students in access to those institutions, as well as we providing guarantee and access to students in public institutions. But my concern arose when the Oregon Student Assistance Commission added all these funds into one pot. I asked legislative fiscal staff what would happen out 5 years or 6 years or 10 years from now. Who would be getting the largest portion per dollar-wise of the monies allocated to students? Would it go to private institutions or public institutions? It was the explanation given to me by legislative fiscal office that it would probably indicate, based upon needs at that moment, out in a given time, that potentially students in private institutions could actually be receiving more per dollar student on a opportunity grant than students in a public institution. I spoke with my co-chair, Representative Westland, and we approached Representative Leonard about using this bill as a vehicle to place in the statute, and you'll notice if the members have copies of the Dash 1 amendments dated 5301. And you'll notice on the second page of the proposed amendments on line 29, in each academic year, the Oregon Student Assistance Commission shall award at least 79% of the funds awarded for Oregon Opportunity Grants to qualified students attending public eligible post-secondary institutions as described in ORS 348.180, sub 1, sub A, and B. That would mean that the remaining 21% would be targeted for students in private institutions. I know there may be some concern expressed on the part of private institution students that they're concerned about where we're going here. But this guarantees the integrity that forever there will be a statutory language identifying monies in the opportunity need grant would go students in public institutions more so than to students in private institutions. It would not deny access to private students, but it would set a statutory limit. With that, Mr. Chairman, members, I would be happy to try to respond to any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hannan, you have two amendments here, the dash ones and the dash twos. I'd like to ask you about...
dash two amendments, Mr. Chair, are Representative Schrader's amendments. The dash one is my amendment.
Okay. In the dash ones, then, section one, subsection six on page two, no Oregon opportunity grants shall be made to any qualified student enrolled in the course of study required for and leading to a degree in theology, divinity, or religious education. It seems to me that is hostile to religious expression. It looks like it's discrimination on the basis of religion.
That's existing language, Mr. Chairman. That's existing language in the statute. The new language is in sub 8 on line 29. Existing language is in sub 6 on line 23 that you just referred to. That is existing language in the state statute.
Okay. Follow up.
This is not an attempt to deny theology or religious degrees.
Mm-hmm. Yes, follow up.
Okay, in subsection 8, you are limiting money to go to private institutions. I guess my concern there is that I think when you have an open market and students can choose, like they do with federal Pell Grants, you have a more healthy educational system. Why are you doing this?
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, Representative Close, I would point out that we're here to serve the public. If the public chooses to go to a private institution, it would still qualify for the opportunity grant up to the amount that would be available. But if they chose to make it access to the funds that were available for public institutions, that would remain there as well. As a state legislator, I'm not the chancellor or board member for Willamette, Lewis and Clark, or anywhere else. If students want to go there, my job as a legislator is to help assist them, but my role and responsibility as a state legislator is to public institutions.
Mr. Chair, I'd have a problem with that part of that amendment. I think it's discriminatory.
Okay, Representative Hobson, and then Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hannan, the decision now as to the ratio of public-private, is that determined by the State Scholarship Commission or Student Assistance Commission itself now?
Right now, prior to the policy action that was taken by the state, Student Assistance Commission was to, it was always done appropriately by the legislature in appropriation of ways and means.
Thank you,
yes,
Mr. Chair.
Hello.
How did the ratio of 79% to 21% surface as the appropriate division for the allocation?
That's the monies that are appropriated right now. This does not change anything that is not currently being done. It's only because of the statute.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Record. One more thought.
Sure.
When you say right now, is that this year as opposed to 5 years ago? Is that, I guess my question is more, is that number flexible and does it vary year by year?
No, it would take 79% of the total money appropriated.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, if
that's
I could
fine.
Do one more because I don't understand. I guess what I'm asking is, I realize what the proposal here is, but in the past, has the breakdown been 79-21?
Approximately, it's been that split.
Okay.
But it was always set by the appropriation. It was never set in the statute. This attempts to lock it in the statute.
Oh, okay.
What is being discerned between private and public institutions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hannon, I'm still unclear as to why, and you can address that maybe answering this question. It could be argued that because our OUS system, the tuitions they offer are less because they're subsidized by taxpayers and this assembly, and whereas our private colleges aren't. I don't understand why we would want to try to cripple the free enterprise system of our private colleges in a regard as far as Oregon student assistance, because I feel that these grants and so forth should be made available to any student in Oregon, regardless of where they go to college, because in essence it's the taxpayers who pay this. So I can't understand, especially if you would like, maybe we could subsidize our private colleges as well as we do with the university system. And that's why they have to charge higher.
That'd be fine. Let's put them on the tax rolls. And if you want to compete on the same level as public institutions, let's let them compete. But, you know, you're trying to maintain an argument here that's gone on for at least 27 years that I've been here. And that is, this is not an attempt to take away from private institutions. This is to guarantee that private institutions will always have access to the money. This is the same level they're currently receiving. Not $1 more, not $1 less. But if you allow this to go by administrative rule, I have worked in this legislative process for 27 years, and I've seen the private institutions come in here and lobby quite effectively for more and more and more of the public dollar. My role as a legislator, your role as a legislator, the Constitution you swear to uphold is for public institutions based upon public funding. I didn't take an oath to support funding for Willamette University. I didn't take an oath to support funding for Lewis and Clark University or anywhere else. I took an oath to be a legislator for public institutions. The same argument could be made using your logic of competing for that same dollar. And let's allow parochial schools to come in here and access the $5.2 billion.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Senator Hannon, you know, you can make the same argument with a OHSU facility. They're currently outside the OSU budget, but however, they operate on their own, and that university is also being subsidized by tax dollars, and it doesn't seem to be... from what I understand in my brief time here in this legislature, any animosity or anything directed at one of our most prestigious universities in the state.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Smith, are you indicating that I'm expressing animosity?
Well, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. I still don't understand the why. It seems to me we're singling out the private universities. But what I'm saying, OHSU is outside the OSU system, and they're still able to receive, you know, scholarships, grants, and
well, there's legislation in, Mr. Chairman, members, this session and other legislation that would allow private institutions such as Phoenix University and others to access these funds. These are for-profit private colleges and universities. You know, I'm just trying to maintain my perspective that the area I represent has a public university. And my taxpayers that I represent work really hard to pay their taxes to send their children to public institutions. If they choose to go to a private institution, they pay considerably more. And the argument can be made that they may receive, in fact, a better education in the private institution. That's not for me to make. That's not an argument here today. But my point I'm trying to make is that I'm trying to maintain the separation, the firewall between private and public institutions when it comes to limited resources, and that's a finite tax dollar that we have to appropriate each session.
Mm-hmm.
If I had my druthers, you know what I'd really be rather talking about here today? Is let's be appropriating $100 million for scholarships in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make scholarships affordable to everybody in this state,
mm-hmm.
regardless of academia. But that's not the argument. The argument is we only have X amount of dollars to work with. My priority is with a public institution versus a private institution. Does that mean I'm making derogatory statements against a private institution? Absolutely not. I support private institutions. My role as a state legislator is to public institutions. That's my first priority.
Thank you, Senator Hammond.
Representative Schrader and then Senator Miller and then Representative Close.
I think in my read on the dash ones are that we are at this point in time anyway in a budget limited environment, so we do have to be a little careful with what we do. We've had a lot of testimony that the NEED grants are underfunded at this point in time. I guess the way I would look at this and is that it does seem to try and strike a bit of a balance in that. Our first obligation would be to the public institutions, but we don't want to cause harm to the private institutions. This does fully fund them, at least at the level they are right now. This is a statutory change, and should our economic picture change over the next couple of biennia, I'm sure there'd be an opportunity for a legislature to change it again. With regard to OHSU, that's a good point. I would point out to the newer members that we do not give them the same amount of money. Matter of fact, there's been a lot. I've been here not much longer than Representative Smith, but members have been around a little bit longer than I. I think would point that to the fact that when OHSU went private, we've kind of limited the amount of extra support that they've gotten from the state. It's actually been frozen for the last few biennia. We get to make that discussion again this session. So they haven't quite enjoyed the same amount of benefit as have the public. So we've tried to, I think, strike that balance between making sure we give support to private institutions in the state, because that, I think, is worthwhile and a good thing to do. But when we are in a slightly more budget-limited environment, we have to kind of prioritize so we don't do a poor job for everybody, but do a little bit better job for those that we do target our resources to. So I don't think this is a bad issue at all. It does put some things in statute and kind of line things out so everyone knows what the playing field is. It's not quite the football that it has been in the past. So I am supportive of this amendment that we have before us at this point in time.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Hannon, the thing that strikes me about this particular bill and this particular discussion is that I think we're one step short of where we ought to be when we award scholarships and help to students. It seems to me that this is all about the money going to institutions as opposed to benefiting Oregon students. And as a consequence, where I am, Mr. Chairman, is I would rather let the student decide what institution to invest in without us creating some specific statutory guideline that says to that student who may determine that they would, well, let's suppose they want to go to a public school and 79% of the funds are gone. Do we say to them, tough darts? And what, in the same token, do we say to the person who wants to go to the private institution and 21% of the monies have already been expended, too bad. Even though you're an Oregon student seeking higher education, you're out of luck because our formula says you can't have any help. Now, why don't we allow the money to go with the person who really needs it the most, the student? This just seems to set up a war between institutions of higher learning.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, first of all, If you'd be willing to join me in keeping the kicker, we could enhance this and still wouldn't have made it.
If I thought we were on a tight budget, I wouldn't. I
make that challenge to you that we could make this move and we could enhance scholarship. We don't have to worry about percentage or who gets what crumbs. What? So I would respond by that, first of all. Secondly, on page 2, it says on line 30 and 31, 79% of the funds awarded for Oregon Opportunity Grants for qualified students. Last time I checked my English, students is different than institutions.
Well, Mr. Chairman, then you're suggesting that if the pot was dry and 79% had been...
79% of zero is zero. The pot is dry, the pot is dry.
Even for one that would otherwise be a qualified student, which was my point. I appreciate that. The thing I would say, too, Mr. Chairman, is that notwithstanding the comment on the kicker, the problem with this is if we look at this as just a single budget and we forget about all the excess in the rest of the budgets, yeah, that creates a problem. But if we do a good job in getting rid of things that aren't as necessary, then we can fully fund this program and help a lot more students.
Thank you, Representative Close and Senator Stroh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hannan, you made one statement that I would like a clarification on. You said that the taxpayers would be funding Willamette University. Just to clarify, we're funding the student and they are choosing where they're going to go. Isn't that correct?
Right.
And I would just say that because of that, what we're providing is a free market for education. The money goes to the student, not the school. I also believe, and maybe you could respond to this, that the taxpayer does benefit from a student going to Harvard as opposed to a community college. It's a more highly skilled education, isn't that true? Wouldn't the taxpayer benefit from that?
Well, first of all, if a student from Oregon is going to Harvard and the state of Oregon opportunity grant is paying for it, we better check our statutes because they're supposed to be used in the state.
Well, I was referring to Pell Grants.
Pell Grants are federally funded, I believe.
But the point is, taxpayer money can benefit the taxpayer by students that goes to an outstanding institution, even though it's private. Isn't that true?
I guess we could make that argument.
Senator Trump.
Mr. President,
Mr. Chairman, I'll do this moment.
Yeah. Whoever.
I appreciate the power.
I know, yeah.
Well, I try to be especially nice to you, Mr.
I know, and I appreciate it. It doesn't go unnoticed.
Mr. Chairman, the years that I've been here are the same years that Senator Hannah's been here. It seems like that every year that I've watched this program work, there's never been enough money in the program to fund all of the students who have need for it. And so the way it's distributed is that it goes to first come, first serve, and when the money runs out, then there is nothing for whoever is left. It does seem to be true, at least this is my observation, that the private schools, because they know something more about their students earlier than some of the other schools, get in line first. And they do a good job of picking up the monies they need for their students because they work very hard. They've got a very skilled group of folks, and they do that. The higher ed schools do the second best job. The community college students, because of the nature of the student enrollment there, are the ones that often end up not having any money because they get there too late. That's the way it works. It does seem to me that, and I think Senator Hannan says this, and I don't know whether this can be backed up by LFO or by the Scholarship Commission, but it seems as though over time, and Senator Hannan's looking ahead a few years, that the percentage of the money, the total amount of money, that's going to go to the private schools will grow at the expense of the public schools unless we do something like Senator Hammond's proposing. And so that's why I'm going to support it, because I think already the private schools are doing well. This is not, as I understand it, taking anything away from them. They're getting the same percentage they've been getting. But it's not going to allow that percentage to grow at the expense of the public institutions, and especially the ones that are hurt most are the community college kids, who often make up their minds to attend school late for a variety of economic reasons. And so that's the way I understand. That's why I'm going to support Senator Hannon.
Further discussion?
Just a technical question.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I apologize for being late. And so
I noticed that you were late.
Okay.
Okay.
And the 29% is the percentage to keep it at its current level. So, I mean, 79 for the public and
21. Okay. Any further discussion? This has been a very good discussion. Thank you, Senator Hannon. I wish you'd been here yesterday when we had Senate Bill 100, which is kind of a takeoff on the HOPE scholarship, where in Georgia, you know, every student that maintains a 3 point gets their tuition paid. And we don't have the funds to do that here. And this is why I understand that you want to put into the statutes the current ratio 79-21. Thank you for that.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. And members of the committee, I think I'd be remiss also by saying that this is a statute amendment, and it would certainly be subject to future changes.
Thank you.
If future legislators chose to change the percentage to accommodate economic times. Secondly, I would point out, and I've indicated this with legislative fiscal staff, that the bill is introduced by Representative Leonard at the request of the Oregon Student Assistance. I would ask that their names be removed and put at my request.
I will include that when we consider the Dash 1 amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Okay, we're still in public hearing. Someone else like to testify? Representative Strobeck. I mean, former Representative Strobeck. I don't know, you've been preempted. It probably didn't help.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee. For the record, Ken Strobeck today representing the Oregon Independent Colleges Association. And we are here to speak in opposition to the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3644. You're receiving my testimony right now, and I'll just go over that very briefly, and then there's a few other points that I want to make about the discussion that you just had. First of all, the Oregon Student Assistance Commission has worked very hard over the last 2 years to remove the sector considerations from the fair distribution of student aid funds based on the personal needs and aspirations of individual Oregon students. And this was accomplished by phasing out the supplemental grant, which appeared to some to be an extra amount of money that was going to students who were attending independent colleges, and instead putting them on an even basis. Now, it actually doing that froze the amount of grant money for students attending independent institutions for a period, in some cases, of up to 3 or 4 years, so that the other sectors will catch up to them. So that was a move that was voluntarily entered into by the independent college sector in order to get rid of the supplemental grant and, again, put everybody on an even percentage basis. And the grant amount now, as you know, is 11% of eligible costs. The Oregon Student Assistance Commission, in our belief, needs to have the flexibility, as some of the members have said, to respond to the preferences of academically qualified, low-income Oregon students. And we need to remember that this is a need-based program that we're talking about here, based on their choice of post-secondary institution. And we believe that it would be harmful to otherwise eligible students to be refused assistance simply because they were not applying for an admission to the right sector at a particular time. Oregon's independent institutions offer a different kind of educational experience to students. The sector contributes $500 million a year in educational spending in the state economy. One-third of the baccalaureate and graduate degrees awarded each year in Oregon are from independent colleges. And Oregon ranks in the top half of all states in the percentage of college students attending independent institutions, yet ranks near the bottom in its level of assistance. And again, the most urgent need is for the state to follow the recommendations of the Interim Financial Aid Commission and commit more resources to meeting the needs of all Oregon low-income students and not earmarking funds by institutional sector. If you recall, most of you have at least one or two copies of this brochure that talks about year-round eligibility, which again would benefit the community college students that Senator Trow is talking about, and increasing the award size from 11% to 15%. Those were the first two recommendations of the Financial Aid Commission, and in fact those were the original priorities that Representative Leonard put into his House bill, which has now changed character. Again, in commenting on the bill itself, Mr. Chair, the discussion about having a percentage locked in at 79 and 21 is not what this bill says. This bill says that at least 79% of the funds awarded will go to students who are attending Oregon public universities. So the way I read that, that does not guarantee a 21% sector for the independent colleges. That guarantees no less than 79% to publics, and it could go higher. Therefore, it could be less than that 21% that would go to students attending independent colleges if this were to be enacted into law. And if that were the case, we would suggest an amendment to the bill that would specify the current distribution as 79-21, rather than saying no less than 79 would go to public institutions. Also, there has been discussion about the role of the state in the support of the institutions that are chartered and operated by the state. And every one of the students who attends an Oregon University System school is receiving a grant, a subsidy of at least $2,500 on the cost of their tuition and other services. And that's sort of a hidden cost. But every time the OUS system comes before this committee and says they need more money because of increased enrollment, that's exactly what they're doing. They're putting a per-student count on the amount of money that they need added to their budget in order to subsidize the education of a student at one of Oregon's public universities. Again, we're advocating for more financial support for students in Oregon to access the educational opportunities here, and especially the low-income sector that are academically qualified. So we would urge your rejection of this amendment, and failing that, at least an amendment that, that as I said, puts in the 79-21 split. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, any questions?
Sure.
Yes, Senator Trow.
Not a question, but a comment. With regard to the at least, it seems to me that we're putting something in the statute that may last for a while, may last for a couple biennia, may not, could be changed next time, but it may last. And the at least gives a little bit of latitude in case the percentage of the enrollment changes, for instance. And there are a lot more students going to the public schools than the private. And then they might go above the 79 to take into consideration a change in the enrollment. That would give them some flexibility to do that. That's, I think, the reason for the at least. If you took it out, then clearly it would work. The 79% would work this time. Depending on what the enrollment would be next time, a 79% would still be the same amount of the funds, but there may be a lot more public institution kids, or there may be fewer of them. But this gives some flexibility. That's the reason for the at least.
Senator Miller.
Could I respond to that, Mr.
Certainly.
Chair? Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, I believe that the statements that the funds were allocated by sector is not correct, that the Student Assistance Commission has, in fact, distributed the funds based on the students that have come to them seeking assistance. And so that percentage has stayed relatively constant over time. And I would submit that by putting in the at least, you are not putting a ceiling in to say that this is that the public institutions will get no more than 79%. When you're saying at least, you're really putting a floor under that amount, and then that could change. So I believe that the way this the issue was handled last session by attaching a budget note saying that the committee was concerned about the percentage of money going to the community college sector had the effect of having the Student Assistance Commission look more carefully at the distribution that they were making at what times of the year and so forth, and so therefore community college increased their percentage last time. So if you're going to follow that same logic this time, I would suggest make this a budget note and put on there that say, as far as we're concerned with the 0103 allocation to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, that they should shoot for this particular ratio and use that as a budget note, as you did last time with community colleges, rather than passing a statute. And I do understand statutes can be changed, but there are also statutes that have been passed that come back every session and get fought again and again and sometimes stay the way they are.
Well, Co-Chair proposed a statutory change, not a budget note change. So
that's right.
One of the reasons.
Steve, would you explain the sector aspect of this bill?
Well, certainly, Mr. Chair. To explain how these awards have been distributed until now, or at least for the last three biennia, you have to realize that the Scholarship Commission determines the level of the award that a student gets when they go to a particular institution, either public or private. For the past three biennia, what the legislature has done is they have distributed the preponderance of the funds for the opportunity grant, I think it was probably close to 90% in dollar amount, in a general pot, if you will, that is split among all three sectors. That is to say, a student that goes to either a community college, OUS school, or a private college in Oregon is eligible for funds from that basic pot. And the amount of the award, as what the Scholarship Commission has said, is from that large pot of money, the amount of the award is 11%, or estimated 11% of what the costs of attending school are, averaged out. So even though community colleges, they vary a bit, they pick an average number for community colleges, an average number for the seven OUS students, and then for the private or independent colleges, what the commission has been doing is they have not been they have not included the full cost of education at a private college and then awarded that 11%. What they've done is they've taken the tuition that's allowed as part of the cost of education to be the amount or the estimate of the cost of educating a student in the Oregon university system. And I believe the number they had used was something like $7,500, or roughly that per student. So in other words, if you attended, say, a very expensive independent college in Oregon, such as Reed, when they added up the bill that they took 11% out of, they didn't put in the full Reed tuition. They put in this artificial cap, $7,500. And then that was how this vast majority of the money was distributed. The legislature at the same time for these last three biennia have, by budget note, not statute, identified another source of funds that went exclusively to the private college students. The Scholarship Commission called this program the SGSA. It's usually called SGSA or Supplemental Grant. I forget the acronym right now, but it's the money that went to the private institutions. And what it essentially did was increase the awards so that the actual awards the private students were getting were closer to, you know, more reflective of their tuition level. What the commission has decided to do this time, and they have every right to do this under law, is, or unless you redesignate either through budget note or statute that they can't do this, is they've decided to combine the two together. So they are combining the two pots together and proposing that there be an equal proportionate distribution based on the actual college costs. So if a institution has a higher than average tuition rate, there would not be this cap of $7,500 in the main pot and then a separate supplement on top of that. Instead, there would just be one pot that would distribute those funds. This was in response to Financial Aid Commission, which did suggest an action of this type. I think that when Senator Hannon, for example, there's a concern that it's potentially the case that since there isn't this cap on the private sector awards, that if the tuitions at private institutions increase rapidly and the Scholarship Commission continues to award 11% on that full amount, that even if the number of students or the distribution of students doesn't change, the distribution of funding could. And what the Dash Fund amendments will do is, it turns out that over time, the distribution of funding has changed somewhat, as enrollments have changed, and the costs have changed, but currently, 79% of the combined funds from the two parts together are going to public college students, 21% are going to private college students. That is also the best projection for the next biennium that we have, though it's difficult to project. What this legislation would do, if you approve it, would be to establish a 79% of the total funding going to public college students as a minimum of the total. It could go higher, but it could not go less than that.
Thank you.
Is that
a question? All right, Senator Miller.
Question for Steve. First, if this new proposal about perhaps allowing more money or the amount awarded to reflect more closely the actual needs based on tuition costs and private institutions.
Yeah.
If you kept the 21% figure, then it would seem to me that clearly we would be able to, we would have far fewer scholarships available to those who attended private school than we currently do.
I do want to clarify that the switch that the Scholarship or Student Assistance Commission is proposing is not projected to have much of an effect on award levels in the current biennium, and it's a potential possibility that they could in the future. But you are correct. This clearly restricts the total amount of funding that could go to students attending private colleges in total. It adds a restriction that does not exist then.
So, if I understand, then if you did do this arrangement as you had described, of just providing support based on the college you picked and not with this cap, in the absence of the 79-29, then maybe it would flow. Well, it would just depend on what the student chose as opposed to some magic formula that we all decided was the right way to apportion.
Correct. Where the students attended and what the tuition was were in charge.
If I can ask a question of the witness,
certainly,
Mr. Chairman. Maybe this was a fallback position of this witness, but I was a little surprised to hear you say you might be comfortable in changing the language regarding the 79% if we deleted the at least description. Would your preference be that, one, I suppose that we don't adopt the Dash One, but secondly, why would you have any comfort level at all with a specific number that would deny students the opportunity to attend institutions of their choice?
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, you're correct in your first comment that we would prefer not to have in statute any reference to the percentage distribution of these funds. We would prefer to leave that to the discretion and the administration of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. But I'm a realist, and I understand what's been going on in the building, and I've talked to a number of members, and when they have said that the co-chair wants this, and it seems to be on a unstoppable track, that was, in fact, my fallback position to say if this is something that is unavoidable, for goodness sake, don't put it in as an at least 79% as far as the public sector is concerned. So, but clearly our preference would be to leave the discretion with the Student Assistance Commission as they have been exercising it in the past.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. President.
President Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman,
would you like to say again?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to leave you with this note that the state of Oregon is spending state and local taxes about $1,354,000,000 on higher education, community college, and OUS system. Of that amount, $35 million is going to help students in need-based aid, and of that amount, $8 million is helping students at independent colleges. So we're really, this entire discussion has been over an incredibly tiny percentage of the total state investment in public education. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. We're in the public hearing still. Anybody else wish to comment on House Bill 3644? If not, I'll close the public hearing. We'll not go to work session today on that, and I'll open the work session on Senate Bill 5542. Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate Bill 5542 is the budget bill for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. As you may remember, you have held a work session on this bill. That work session was held on March 19th. If you open up your three-ring binders, the thick white books, the first item in that binder, not in the envelope or the flap, but actually in the binder, is a memo that I've written to the subcommittee with today's date that contains some LFO recommendations on this budget. To refresh in your memories as to what you did with this budget earlier, at your May 19th meeting, you approved a number of recommendations or made a number of decisions regarding the student assistance budget.
April 19th or something?
March 19th. I'm sorry, Senator, that's correct. On March 19th, you did hold a work session on this budget and made a large number of decisions concerning it, but you retained possession of the budget at that time. The Legislative Fiscal Office is now recommending that you consider two additional minor adjustments to the budget, and then that you report the budget back to full committee. In this memo that I hope you've all been able to find in your three-ring binder, the whole recommendation is really just on this first page. All of the remaining pages, I just copied the decisions that you made at the last meeting. So it's here and convenient for you in case you have any questions about what those decisions were. But essentially, you completed work on that budget, but we're just holding it. The only additional recommendations that LFO would ask you to make are the two that are shown there on the front page of this memo. The first deals with package 301, which is a reallocation of the funding for the Office of Degree Authorization. What this recommendation is a change in a recommendation that I gave the subcommittee on March 19th because I received additional information, and I would recommend that you change something that you did at our recommendation earlier or revise something that you did. The budget contains this package to provide sufficient general fund to support 70% of the Office of Degree Authorization's budget. At your last work session on this bill, you approved a reduction in that package at our recommendation, and we now believe that that reduction is not advisable. We looked at the numbers further and believe that the full amount of package 301 as it was presented in the governor's budget is what we would recommend, and we're asking you at this time to recommend that full package. The effect or the impact of changing what you've done to this would be to restore one position at one quarter FTE and $11,821 in general fund to their budget. The reason what happened was I frankly was a little confused when I was trying to follow what was in that package and what was not in that package, and it looked like there was an additional personal services in that package when there really weren't, and I had recommended taking them out, but now I'd recommend keeping them in because they're not additional, they were there all along. So.
Okay,
Okay, Representative Schrader.
I'd like to move that we reallocate to the office degree authorization package 301, reestablishing and restoring one position, 0.25 FTE and $11,821 in general fund.
Do you want to do recommendation two also with it?
Can do that also.
Sure.
Does Elva want to talk about that first?
Sure. No, makes sense. Okay. Our second and final recommendation is that you approve a program reduction relating to out-of-state travel. The co-chairs have requested that funding for out-of-state travel in all agency budgets be reduced by 1%. In this budget, that equates to a $91 reduction in general fund and an $1,114 reduction in other funds.
Representative Schrader has added item 2 LFO recommendation on the recommendations on Senate Bill 5542. Is there a discussion?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Close.
Steve, could you just tell me, you're restoring one position. Could you just refresh our memory why it's a 0.25F full-time equivalent?
It was it's a part-time position that was funded through personal service contracts, and it provides administrative staff support to the Office of Degree Authorization, which is the office that reviews degrees and proposed programs.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Is there any objection to the LFO's recommendation 1 and 2 on the letter dated May 8th? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. Do you want to send this to the floor?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I guess I'd ask the subcommittee to maybe look at a budget note. That's all right.
Certainly.
Get their thoughts.
Yes, Representative Schrader, explain what you have here.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Based on a lot of the discussion we've had about the NEA grant program, merit grant programs, where the amount of money needs to be, what level we should be setting for tuition support, it seemed wise to me to entertain and suggest to the commission, empower the commission basically, to do a report on what level of financial aid is important to affect student attendance rates and that academic persistence, and kind of report back to the e-board. It also would include an analysis of the impact of the grant program on attendance for our lower income students. We've discussed this again and again and again. And also a report on reasonable criteria that the commission thinks should be used in any future merit-based type of financial aid. Seems to me this committee has gone round and round discussing the issue, and it would be nice to have some factual information upon which to base future legislative determination. So it doesn't set any new policy. It just asks the commission, working with and getting financial support from the Department of Higher Ed and the community colleges, to come back to the next to the e-board and hopefully be used by the next legislative session. How do we determine where the tuition levels and financial assistance levels should be set?
Senator Trill.
Is there an assumption here that somehow or other we're going to make the movement away from need-based education to merit-based student financial aid if we accept this this budget note?
Mr. Chair, not in any way, and not in any way. The goal here would be for, again, it gives the commission, frankly, the opportunity to say, well, we need to make sure that that we don't even go there until the NEA grants are fully funded, and they must be fully funded at 15% or 20% before we would recommend this legislature go. That's the type of information that would make a lot of difference to me and hopefully to other members of the commission as to how we approach even merit-based in the future, if it's of value to the state of Oregon.
I'd like to see need-based aid funded at 100% before we go to merit-based aid.
And you may come back to that.
Have they had a chance to look at this?
Yes, I showed, I think, both the commission and
the
student.
Can you come up, please, and let me ask them a
sure.
question?
Sure.
Please identify yourself and respond to a question.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jeff Sweetser, Executive Director of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission.
Mr. Sweetser, is this the kind of budget note that you think would be helpful in decision-making for the future?
Yes.
So you don't have any objection to doing this? Do you see any problems connected with it in terms of gathering the data or anything else?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, members of the committee, there are administrative and logistical issues that I had expressed concern to Representative Schrader, and I just wanted to make him aware that this may not be an easy task, but we will put our shoulder to the wheel and in an effort to honor this. And he indicated that there would be some direction in the other agencies' budgets as far as supporting this effort as well.
Oh. And so you think it will be positive, and you're okay about taking part in it, and you think you can get the information, although it will be somewhat difficult.
I always want to answer very shortly and just say yes.
Okay. I think that's good, and I guess I won't have any objection to it. I would like to hear from the students, though, and see whether or not they find any problem with it. Have they had a chance to look at it?
Yes, they have.
Yeah. Rand, do you want to come and speak for the students? I think you heard the senator's question, and if you would respond to that, please.
For the record, my name is Rem Nivens. I'm the legislative advisor for students for the Oregon Community College Association. And we actually did speak with Representative Schrader about the budget note, and I have no problems with it at this point. In terms of conducting the study, I think that'd be fine.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I need to go back to square one here. I'm not real clear what's meant by attendance rates and academic persistence. Does that mean an actual tally of attendance, which I think most or many institutions don't even keep, or is what we're looking for something like a completion rate of courses started? And maybe Representative Schrader.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hobson. What I was referring to there was much like the study that was done in Washington. This would be a longitudinal type study that would look at how students made their decision to attend university and what financial assistance they found in the course of their study that encouraged students to stay in school. Right now we're guessing as to the amount of money, like Senator Tro says, we'd like to put as much in as we can, and there's certainly got to be at least some critical mass that we need to get to. And when Washington State did that study, they were able to identify both of those. And I would assume that any study that we did here would be similar, use the same definitions.
Is that your understanding, Mr. Schweitzer, what you just heard the representative say?
The direction, I understood the direction, yes.
Mr. Chair, has Mr. Schrader, thought about the cost of doing this and how it would be funded? Do you have some thoughts on that?
Yes, very fair question, Senator Drew. I guess my thoughts would lie along two lines. One is that I would like to see the Department of Higher Ed and community colleges be stepping up and helping fund this. I would also suggest that when we talk, we have opportunities, I understand from the co-chairs, talk about add-backs. And I would suggest to this committee that it might be appropriate for us, not that we have a lot of add-backs in this particular budget, but it would be appropriate to suggest if money is available that we try and set aside at least, I'd say, up to $200,000 to try and help fund this study. I think it's very worthwhile in the long run.
It's better than having it come out of the NEGRA.
It certainly is.
Any other questions or comments from the members? Do you gentlemen have anything additional you would like to say about the budget note? Okay, thank you. We have a motion to add this budget note to Senate Bill 5542. Is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. And so I would take a motion to send House Bill 3644 with the proposed budget note to the full week. Oh, yeah. 5542 to the full Ways and Means Committee. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And to the full, Representative Schrader will carry it and to the House. And Senator Tro, would you carry it to the Senate? Okay, is there any other business to come?
No, sir.
Is there any other business to come before this committee? If not, we are adjourned.
Yeah.